quite a bit of it. So we'll try to manage, and as my voice starts to die, just lift your hand up. I don't have a strong voice to begin with, so we'll see how we can make out. And I'd like to speak today in 1 Samuel chapter 27, my old friend David. I love to speak about David, as most of you know, in this chapel through the years. I probably spent more time studying the life of David than any scriptures in my lifetime. And I guess because I find myself a lot like David, only on the downside, the darker side. Someone said you make a composite of David, the main colors you would use would be gold, white, and black, because of his love for the Lord and his high moments when he's really into divine things, the gold of his life, and then his normal life, good life, white, and then, of course, he had some real dark spots in his life, too. So I think he relates to us a lot, just as Peter does in the New Testament. I think a lot of us are like Peter, aren't we? Ready to speak and then a little bit sorry for what we said afterwards, but we should learn from this. I know Peter learned. You just have to read his two letters that he wrote, and we hope that we learn too. Now, we'll begin reading, and this is a long incident in the life of David. When I do read, I'm going to do some speed reading, so you can stay with me to get, and I'll tell the rest of the story from memory, but it's a very important situation in the Word of God. I think we can all relate to this at one time or another. Verse 1, chapter 27 of 1 Samuel, and David said in his heart, not out loud, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in the border of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. And David arose and passed over with 600 men. And by the way, there were women and children in this aggregate as well. Unto Achish, Rachish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. Now the word Abimelech and Achish is used of the kings of the Philistines. I guess the Abimelech is like the pharaohs. That was a royal title or something. But I think this is the same Achish that David defected to once before when he was real young. Remember, he's still pretty young now. And when we're too hard on David, let's remember his age. Even though he was a man after God's own heart, the scriptures tell us, particularly the New Testament reiterates that in Acts chapter 13. So he goes over to this king, Achish. Now let's first of all look at the situation that David's in. I mean, I can't believe this is David. I really can't. The man who has written many psalms about how the Lord has continually delivered him, and that when he first got these 600 men together as an army in the cave of Adullam, he said, I'm going to teach you now. These are a bunch of renegades dissatisfied with the king, King Saul. And David had escaped from King Saul because after he killed the giant and people ascribed unto him killing more people, the enemy, than what King Saul did. And King Saul got very jealous of David because particularly, see, the women always do. It's the women. They sang, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. They did it. Just that little word. from the women, and Saul got jealous because he was a big guy. He was head and shoulders above all the people, handsome, no doubt, and everything else. And it said he eyed David from that day forward. What's it mean, eyed? Huh? The evil eye. He was jealous, and he even tried to kill David. David had to escape from the palace because he became King Saul's musician, because whenever it says an evil spirit came upon Saul, well, David would play with his harp and he would feel good again. See, that's what music does. Some music can calm your spirits. Other can flip you out crazy, you know. But nevertheless, his jealousy led to David finally having to leave the palace and to go out on his own in the wilderness. And he ended up in this cave. And all the people that were dissatisfied with King Saul, they came to this cave where David was hiding. And even his parents came. They were dissatisfied with Saul. They said, David, we think you're the man. We want you to be a captain over us. Wow, here's young David. What's 18, 17, 19, somewhere in there. And well, he said, everybody sit down. The first thing I'm going to teach you is the fear of the Lord. And that's what he did. And he spoke many times throughout these Psalms, which were poems and songs that he wrote concerning how many times God delivered him. And if you just looked at the next two chapters back, after about 11 to 12 years of being chased by King Saul from one wilderness to another, from one section of the south of Judah where it's huge rocky caves. In fact, in the previous chapter, we have David hiding, or maybe it was 24. Anyway, the last three chapters, twice he could have killed King Saul. One time King Saul was asleep, and his men, they were in the other part of this big cave, and Saul came in there to rest. And his men said, now you got him, David. You got him. David says, no, I'm not going to kill him. You know why? He was God's anointed king. I'll not put my hand against God's anointed. Well, those that were among him who were just getting relief from King Saul, they were really godly people. They couldn't understand this. Now's your chance. I mean, you got him. But God said David would be king. The prophet told him as a young boy, you shall be the next king. In fact, he anointed him in the house of his father. And so David would not kill King Saul, and they couldn't understand that. And he spared Saul's life. And another time, in a fit of anger, he was going to go down and take a man and take his head off, because this man had a great time of harvest or with his sheep. It came time for sheep shearing. And when a rich man sheared his sheep, he usually had a festival, and the poor people around, they were supposed to help them. Well, David had been watching this man's sheep out in the wilderness with his armies. While he was out there, he kept his eye on the sheep from the man, and his men said, boy, he was great. We didn't have to worry as long as he was around. Well, when the sheep shearers came, David sent a messenger, hey, you know, a little tip, a little handout. Look what we've been doing. And the men said, yeah, they were a wall to us. We didn't have to worry when they were out there about marauding tribes. But this man, Nabal, said, who's David? Who's he? I don't care who he is. No, I'm not going to take my, he says there, and give him what I have. And he was a churlish man. He was selfish and stingy. And he had a beautiful wife. I don't know how they ever got hooked up, but it was usually a deal made by the parents in those days. And probably her father saw dollar signs in the eyes. And anyway, this girl was a beautiful girl. She was a very, very spiritual and godly girl. Well, the story goes, she intercepted David, but David said, I'm going to go down and take this guy's head off. I mean, David didn't fool around. took 600 men with him, you know, like going after a roach with a shotgun. He's going to take this guy's head off. And Abigail interceded and stopped him. She said, consider what you're doing. And she told him about what God had planned for him. I don't know how she knew this and her husband didn't. But anyway, all these things happened to David. He had a chance to kill Saul and he didn't. And he saw this woman intercede and keep him from shedding blood needlessly. And he came to his senses. He said, you know, God sent you. I was foolish. I shouldn't have thought that way. And she actually stopped him from having that blight on his conscience. And then just before we read, King Saul comes out finally and says to David, after David spared his life, he says in the 25th verse of the previous chapter, then Saul said to David, blessed be thou, my son. David, thou shalt do great things, and thou shalt prevail. So David went his way, and Saul returned to his place. Saul said above that, I have played the fool. Although Saul said a lot of things without backing them up. But he might have meant it this time, but anyway, that was the last David ever saw of King Saul. Now David said, I am now going to perish one day by the hand of Saul. Now just think of that statement. What happened to David? He got in the doldrums, didn't he? I guess he's figuring, I'm tired of running. I got all these people. We're going from place to place, and we have to get our food. We have to fight the Philistines when we see them, and we have to run from King Saul. And he just got kind of weary of the Christian life, you know, in the battle. And as many times, just when we would get to that point and say, what's the use? You know, God usually has a victory for us right around the corner if we'd only have waited. Because it was only about within 2 years that King Saul was killed, not by David. And the kingdom, David was on his way to becoming king. But after possibly 13 years of running from Saul, he couldn't wait just a little longer. And how like that is many of us. We don't always wait for God, do we? And we wonder, where's God? I mean, I prayed all this time and I've done all this. Where is God anyway? You know, and what happens? We might not use these words, but somehow we try to find comfort in our own ideas. And many times we even go into the world for comfort, don't we? We take up other things that will make us happy or get us out of the doldrums. I think God's very jealous of that, don't you? I think God's very jealous when we find some other area, some other avenue to seek for peace and comfort rather than to the Lord. And I know a lot of the Lord's people run to psychiatrists, and Rob was saying Wednesday night, and seek other areas rather than seeking the Lord first and the Word of God. But it just seems after all the blessings that God has poured upon David, that David got into this state. So he says, I'm going to go over to the king, King Achish, and he said, I'm going to defect to the Philistines. Now, in those days, these were marauding tribes and little empires, and they were always fighting one against the other. And just like today, you know, you're playing basketball for one team, great, great. Next year, you're playing against that team. You know, they trade you. Well, it's a little bit like that. You know, hey, David defecting, great, come on over with us. We know what he can do. And I think this King Achish was a little gullible, really. For some reason, he liked David. The first time David, when he was running from Saul many years ago, went over to King Achish. And the king thought, oh, this is the one who slew Goliath, our champion. way back there. Now he's on our side. Sure, come on over. But then his men find out about it. They were a little upset about this guy. You know, how do you know he's not going to turn against us? And when David heard that, good old David, you know what he did? He acted like he was insane in a courtroom today, you might say. John DuPont or one of them. He acted like he was insane. It said he acted like a fool, and the spittle ran down his beard, and he acted like a crazy man. Well, it worked because I just said, I've got enough nuts here. Why do I need another one? Get rid of this guy, you know. And it worked. Not God's way, but David's way. He got out, but he got in more trouble after that. Anyway, this king seems to be the same king because he takes David back. And in verse 6, or verse 5, David said unto Achish, if I found grace in your eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day, whereof Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of the Judah unto this day. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. Great. It worked. No trouble, no trials. Free from Saul. Saul gave up looking for him. It worked. Now David, because he's in the enemy's land and he's still a Christian, we're using that term today, what does he have to do? He has to continually scheme and use duplicity. And you'll see how God works to bring this man back. A year and 6 months, or 16 months, almost 2 years, not have to worry about King Saul. He's out of the battle. Now, he goes to the king. He's still thinking, you know, on his own terms. I can't have my men living up here. I mean, after all, your gods and your, he didn't say this, but this is what he's thinking, your gods and your religion, at least he was still thinking of God in that respect. And also, he didn't want the king to see what he was doing. Now, remember, even though we might get into the world and get away from the Lord, we're his people, we're still his people. And so he gave him this city way down in the south country, in the south of, near the borders of Judah, in the south of Judah, because they had captured some of Judah. And these other tribes that lived down there, as we'll read in verse 8, David had, it seems like he had to make a report to King Achish what he was doing once in a while. And in verse 8, it says, and David and his men went up and invaded the Gershonites, the Gerizzites, the Amalekites, for those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land as you go to Shur. And David smote the land, left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep, the oxen, the asses, the camels, and apparel, and returned to Achish. And Achish said, where have you made a raid today? David said, against the south of Judah. Oh, boy. Listen to this one. And against the south of the Jerahmeelites, and against the south of the Kenites. And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings on us, saying, so did David, so will be his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines. And Achish believed David, saying, he hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor him, since he shall be my servant forever. The great cover-up. David did not invade his own people. But these tribes that had invaded and taken part of the land of some of the Israelites down there, these were the ones that he invaded. And unlike David, he killed every one of them. Why? So they couldn't squeal. He's not killing Israelites down there, which Achish thought he was doing. You see how duplicity. David has got to make up things to protect himself. Very un-Christian-like. Telling a lie. And of course, Achish, he swallowed all this, you know. Well, so far, so good. Okay, chapter 28. And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. Remember, to fight with Israel, David's people. Saul was still their king and general. Remember, he was God's anointed. David would never put forth his hand against God's anointed. Remember that. And Achish said to David, "Know assuredly that you shall go out with me to battle, thou and thy men." And David said, and I'm sure he had his heart in his mouth, David said to Achish, "Surely you'll know what thy servant can do." And Achish said to David, "Therefore I will make you keeper of my head forever." What's that? Probably chief bodyguard. So that they, you know, he didn't want these generals to get killed in a war, so they had to have the best men around them. So you can see the predicament that David is getting himself into. Now, the rest of the chapter has nothing to do with David. King Saul, you can read it at your leisure, another tragic situation. Now, so we have David in this position, and I'm sure going over in his mind, what a predicament I am in. Now, I'll leave it to you to figure out. Okay, let's read a little bit in 29. Now the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, and Israel encamped by a fountain which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands, but David and his men passed in the rear with Achish. Then said the princes of the Philistines, now the other people are getting wind of the fact that David's here and the position. So the princes of the Philistines said, "What do these Hebrews hear?" And Achish said unto the princes of the Philistines, "Is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, who hath been with me these days for these years? I found no fault in him since he fell unto me unto this day." And the princes of the Philistines were angry. These are all the leaders and generals of the different countries, I guess, and the armies and controlled these areas under the Philistines. And the princes of the Philistines said to him, "Make this fellow return, that he may go again to this place which thou hast appointed him. Let him not go to battle with us, lest in battle he be an adversary to us, for wherewith should he be reconciled to his master? Should it not be with the heads of these men? Is not this David," here it goes again, "of whom they sang one to another in dances, saying, Saul slew his thousands and David his 10,000. Get this story. Then Achish called David and said unto him, "Surely as the Lord liveth, thou hast been upright in thy going," oh boy, "in thy going out and coming in with me in the host is good in my sight, for I have not found evil in thee since the day of your coming to me. Nevertheless, the Lord's do not favor you. Wherefore return, go in peace, that thou displease not the lords of the Philistines." And David said unto Achish, "But what have I done?" Now, if there's ever an empty reply, it's this, as I see it. David's in a predicament. Now, unless he was going to take the opportunity, as the Lord said, when the battle gets ripe, to turn against and to fight for Israel, at least their thinking was the right thing to think anyway. And we know that David would never have gone against Israel. But he has himself in a dilemma. You ever got yourself in a dilemma because you lied, because you got away from the Lord? I can remember a few of them at work, a few little white lies that I told. I got in a predicament one time because I was supposed to order some ink for this big job that came in, and it slipped my mind. I didn't write it down as I should. And So I got on the phone right away because the boss says, you ready to do this job? We got to get it out, get the ink and all. I said, yeah, okay, we're ready. I quick got on the phone with the ink company, and I pleaded with the guy, hey, can you do anything at all? Get this ink out as fast as you can. Have it here tomorrow. And so my lie had me sweating on the phone. I could feel the sweat because I knew they were going to say, oh, come on, this is impossible. You're just calling it late in the day. And the salesman got on the phone that I know, and I talked to him. And he said, I'm coming down that way, Bob. He said, I'll bring it with me. I'll drop it off tonight. The Lord was gracious because I told the boss I ordered the ink, and if it wasn't there, on the spur of the moment, like we were saying on Wednesday night, caught in a moment of weakness, and didn't come right out and say, boss, no, I forgot it, because I know he would have hit the roof. So that just that fast, I said, yeah, everything's all ready. I was in a hot spot. Now I can see David here saying, oh, shucks, can't I go? Oh, come on. Oh, look, you told me I'm going to be your bodyguard. And oh, come on. I was just dying to fight against kings. You think that might have been the situation? But underneath, he said, oh, thank God. Praise the Lord. No, he goes back. Now, the Lord's not finished with him. Verse chapter 30. And it came to pass when David and his men were come back to Ziklag, where he was given to live, on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captive that were in it. They slew not any, either great or small. What mercy. But carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people who were with him, now these are big, strong, fighting men, lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. That's putting it mildly. Try to put yourself in that kind of life, in that kind of living, where you really had to be men and women to live in those conditions, especially when everything is against you. And David refers more than once to the time of his distress. Jacob refers to the time of his distress. Joseph refers to the time of his distress. So when there comes distress, and we call depression today, we're not alone. Because those things can happen. And it can happen to the Lord's people, I think, more than it should, because we have the Word of God. Some years ago, the most popular book, I guess about 20 years ago, was by Martin Lloyd-Jones, Spiritual Christians in Depression. Most popular selling book in the bookstores. That shouldn't be, should it? I'm not saying we don't have our times of problems, and Satan is a strong one. He can get on us. And if we don't have on the armor of God, and if we're not fortified by the Word of God, sometimes, like David, we're going to look every place else to get relief, except to the one. If David felt that way, he said in his heart, the Lord, in his heart, he spoke of that many times, how he was the man who wrote continually that phrase, what? Wait upon the Lord. Probably after this he wrote it, and before this he wrote some of these psalms. So many times what we sing and what we say and what we read are always going to be put to the test, aren't we? Eventually. Even as we get older, we're going to be put to the test. Is Christ sufficient? When we help other people and counsel other people, we tell them this. And we should, even though we might not be an example of it, because it is the Word of God. We're giving them the Word of God. But it's much better if we're an example and give them the Word of God. If we can, by experience, lift one another up. And that's one of the great things, as you know, I've been looking at this phrase over 30 times in the New Testament, one another, one another. And it's important that we can encourage one another, be sensitive to the needs of one another. And we'll find that again, David. So, let's read, continue that verse 6. I had to stop for that little sermon there. And it says, he was distressed for the people spoke of stoning him. That doesn't mean give him something to drink and get him drunk. No, they stoned people to death in those days when they wanted to get rid of them or some problems. And the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. I love this. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. God had to bring him to a low point, didn't he? Remember in Psalm 116, he says, I was brought low and he helped me. It's the only way we can get help from God, isn't it? To be brought low. He will not despise a broken and contrite heart. Broken heart because of our disobedience, our lack of reliance upon the Lord. You know, the Lord says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And a man has to be brought to that poverty of spirit before he can ever come to know the Lord, to gain the kingdom of heaven. And then, as we're poor in spirit entering into the kingdom, we continue to be poor in spirit as Christians because we have the kingdom of heaven. And when we trade God's kingdom and God's things for the world and our own ways, then we do get in trouble, don't we? But the poor in spirit realizes as he becomes the meek one and hungers and thirsts after righteousness, that he has to depend entirely upon the Lord. And when he knows that God comforts, when he knows his is the kingdom of heaven, what can the world really contribute? He's poor-spirited as far as the world is concerned because he's found something better. So David, we can thank God for this return. He encouraged himself in the Lord. How would you encourage yourself in the Lord? I think David just went back over all the times the Lord delivered him. He went back to all the blessings, to all the promises. You are going to be king. What are you doing here? The battle's not over. And I'm sure before he encouraged himself in the Lord, I think he must have had prayer, because throughout David's life, you'll read, except when he gets in certain periods of trouble, you'll read the phrase, then he inquired of the Lord. Then he inquired of the Lord. We don't have any of that here, do we? Shall I go and join the Philistines? Oh, the Lord answered my prayer. Yeah, he didn't say no, you know. No, I don't even think he prayed at that time. I'm sure here, as he returned to the Lord, there was that contrition of heart. So I'll leave that for you to fill that in there, encouraging himself in the Lord. Scriptures speak a lot about ourselves and what we can do. Okay, now David says to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me the ephod, and that was the same as going before the Lord. Now I need direction from here. You see how he returns to the Lord? Inquiring of the Lord. Well, that was available to him all this time. And David inquired of the Lord, verse 8, saying, shall I go after this troop? Shall I overtake them? He answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Now, it was God's mercy that these Amalekites, who were fierce warriors, didn't kill any of David's people. That had to be God's intervention, didn't it? That had to throw David down in mercy when he realized that they didn't kill them. And the Amalekites, remember, God said to Saul, because you have failed to destroy all the Amalekites, kept alive the king, this was one reason he lost his kingdom, and it was going to be given to one better than him, and Saul soon found out that was David. God said, I want you to wipe out the Amalekites completely. For the Amalekites were the ones who attacked Israel from the rear, you remember, and they were unmerciful to them. And when Moses interceded for God, you remember, Israel prevailed and defeated the Amalekites. When Moses' hands were down, then the Amalekites started to gain the ascendancy. But God had declared that you would have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And finally, God said, do away with them. Of course, they are, we can't get into, but they're a type of the flesh in the Word of God. And that flesh is always with us, and we have to crucify it and keep it in that place of being dead. So David is told that he would recover, and we're not going to read the rest of the story there, but look at the conclusion. And it says here in verse 18, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great. There again, that had to be God's mercy. Because if he did what David had done to those other tribes, he took everything. And here he recovered all. Or anything they had taken to them, David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drove before those other cattle and said, this is David's spoil. David not only recovered everything materially, but he was recovered spiritually. If you read on, you'll see how David distributed to the tribes that were in the south of Judah there, the weak and failing tribes of Israel, the people that were scattered abroad in those areas, that he ministered to them. And there is more to the story. But finally, as we said, King Saul was finally killed in a disgraceful way by the Philistines, his feared enemy. But God showed mercy and grace to David. And it's a lesson for us, isn't it? We'd never say in our hearts, this is going to happen, or this is going to happen. I'm going to despair of God. I'm going to give up on God. And I'm going to find my comfort in myself and in the world, you know. Things are just getting too heavy. Oh, take courage. Take courage. Because David finally, and we recommend it to everyone, we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. The Bible says we're to keep ourselves, and here we have the thought to encourage ourselves. And what's the best way to encourage ourselves? Back to basics, as they say. Back to the Lord. Back to communion and fellowship. And of course, that can only come through reading the Word of God. Isn't it wonderful that we have a God who is merciful? He could have allowed David to, the Amalekites could have gave David a severe lesson. He could have captured and destroyed them all like David did. But you know what David's favorite phrase is in the Psalms? You guessed it. The mercy of the Lord endureth forever. Thank God for his mercy. Shall we pray? Father, as we have hurriedly gone through this episode in the life of your servant, we're just so thankful that so much of his life fills thy word. Remember, Lord Jesus, how many times you referred to David. And yet we see thy great mercy and grace, because the many times he had fallen, you were there to restore him. And we know thy ways with men through these incidences in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. We don't always understand your ways, but we know that those that are truly thine and are seeking to please thee, that you will not leave us nor forsake us, even when we have, as it were, turned our back upon thee and gone other places for comfort, even for fellowship. But we thank thee for the many times that you have restored us. We remember, as David has said, he restoreth my soul and leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So, Father, we do pray this morning that as we go on our Christian pathway, that we might continually gird up the loins of our mind and put on the whole armor of God, that we might be able to stand against the wiles and the deceits of Satan and against our own flesh. We ask your help. Now again, we just thank thee for your great salvation, the fact that we know you through the death of our Lord Jesus, that he has died that we might live. We thank thee that we have Lord Jesus as our great high priest, who's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We can go to him at any time and get comfort and strength and direction and help. So, Father, forgive us for leaning on the arm of flesh, that we might continually lean upon thee and thy precious word, as we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.